Welcome back to Yes Guy, the radio show, and we are pleased to have with us now author, journalist Randi Druzin. She's written for the New York Times, Time Magazine, Globe and Mail, Toronto Star, National Post, has books out in the past and a new one out right now called Behind the Mask. Randi, how are you today?
I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
Very good, thanks. So, Behind the Mask, obviously a fascination with goaltenders, and you go back into the mid-60s right up to the current time. So there are 12. So I guess the ultimate question is, how did you select the dozen?
Well, I wrote a book about goalies about 10 years ago. In fact, exactly 10 years ago. And I picked the 12 who I thought needed to be first and foremost. And what happened was the book came out and I got a lot of emails from people complaining about Tony Esposito not being in the book or Jerry Cheevers not being in the book. So after a few years, I thought, you know what? Maybe it's time to write a sequel. So I've done that and I've put in another 12 goalies that I think are great. Although I know some people would feel some of them should have been in the first book. I understand that. I've been hearing a lot of that.
Well, and that's good. So it created the second book. I'm a goalie guy. I mean, right from the first hockey game I ever saw, which mm-hmm. goes back to, I hate to admit it, pre-mask. But these guys were, they were like cowboys. They were on their own. And you could literally blame the goalie for the team loss. I don't think anybody does that much anymore. But these guys mm-hmm. were unique and they were all different. When I look at the list of names here, just going to rhyme off the first six, because these are like originals: Roger Crozier, Rogge Vachon, Jerry Cheevers, Ed Jackman, Tony Esposito, and of course Tretiak. I mean, they're not, I mean, they have some similarities, but it's not a style thing, is it?
No, not especially not with those guys. I mean, Tony Esposito mastered the butterfly, and you know, those other goalies are a little bit different. So yeah, they had different styles. Whereas today, most of the goalies, you'll see them sliding, you know, post to post on their knees. So that becomes more of a uniform approach to goaltending now.
Yeah, it's almost like when the first time I saw goalies do that, I thought it's almost like watching a guitarist who's out of sync with the rest of his band, because the movements are before the puck gets there, right? You go, why is he moving there? Well, he's ahead of the play.
It's funny you should say that, because last week I interviewed Jim Corsi, who's a well-known goalie coach in the NHL. And he told me the same thing. Like, he basically said, you know, that some of the goalies now are emphasizing blocking shots. So their task is to anticipate the play and get there before the puck does. Whereas in the past, goalies were more reactive. So you don't see a lot of the spectacular kick saves now that you saw, you know, in the 60s or 70s.
Yeah, it's a totally different game, and it seems to me that they're willing to play the percentage. If certain goals go in, they seem rather accepting of it, which is sometimes a little hard to take, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, especially when it comes to the postseason, and for me, especially when it comes to the Leafs. So it's a problem.
Yes, it is. That's another book.
Yeah, so Leafs goaltending, I think, is a great book. And, you know, for a while there, we're talking about goaltending issues. There was a part of me that was hoping Marc-Andre Fleury would come here, even for one season. But, you know, that didn't happen.
Well, he's in your second six. Paul Maurice, Fjord, Luongo, Marc-Andre Fleury, Lundqvist, and Carey Price. Going back to Roger Crozier to Carey Price, that spans from 64 to now. I mean, that's quite a sample size, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was tough. Like, it wasn't easy picking these goalies because there's so many great ones over the years. I think I started primarily with Vezina winners. You know, like in the first book, you have Hašek with all those Vezinas and the others. I think for this book, it was not just that. It was also impact. Like, what kind of impact did they make on the game and in the league at the time they were playing?
So I'm just looking right off the top of my head. The three intriguing guys where there's some similarity, not a lot, but some, because they're smaller, would be Paul Maurice, Crozier, and Vachon. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Although they did say, like, Paul Maurice, he was listed as 5'7", but some of the journalists at the time thought that may have been a bit of an exaggeration. So I don't know. I haven't met him in person, so I can't say how tall he is. But Vachon, they described as a little tank. Like, he was short, but very sturdy and very wide.
Yeah, and Roger Crozier was just the best way to describe him was acrobatic. He was my favorite just because when I was a kid, the goalies on these teams, I'm talking the original six, were guys that had been there so long, they just represented the team. When you saw Johnny Bauer, you knew it was a Leaf game. When you saw Glenn Hall, I mean, he was Mr. Chicago. And this guy comes along without a mask at that point, and it's just like there's no comparable to him.
No, there really isn't. And he, like, his style of play was so unorthodox at the time, it caused fits, you know, among the coaching staff and even fans. But he was good at what he did. And in fact, he was a lot like Hasek, who came 30 years later. So in a way, he was a trailblazer.
So when you, you know, you sit down, you've got these 12 guys and the 12 guys in the other book, I mean, and you've admitted to me that off air that you are a goalie fan. So what is it about goalies that attracts you to them?
I just think, first of all, when I grew up playing hockey, I was a winger. So in answer to the question people always ask, were you a goalie? Absolutely not. I don't have that kind of mental toughness. I mean, I think goalies are interesting because think about it. They're sort of, it's a solitary pursuit on a team sport. Just the way, you know, like a closer on a baseball team comes in and kind of does his own thing. He's part of the team, but his game is really about him, the catcher and the batter. And I think it's the same way for goalies. I mean, they're doing their thing on their own, where defense works together, the forwards work together. The goalie works on his own, and he's not on the bench between shifts talking to his teammates. He's out there by himself the whole game. And it takes a special kind of person to do that. In the past, it meant being a little bit quirky. Now it means more being mentally tough and just having the memory of a goldfish and forgetting your mistakes, forgetting your bad games and going back in there.
The memory of a goldfish. That's a great one.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never studied goldfish, but I'm assuming, you know, they don't remember too much.
It's interesting. I like the comparison you made with a closer in baseball, just mm-hmm. because it's a great comparable because of what we've just been through with the Jays and you know, the, you know, do you remove a pitcher or do you keep them in? And now the way that decision is made, it's not the manager. It's a collection of theories on who starts and when you pull the guy out. And I think that's how goalies are handled now. When you go back to some of these other guys, Vachon, Crozier and Cheevers and Jackman, I mean, these guys were on their own. There was no goalie coach. They had to perform or they were gone.
Yeah, they didn't have goalie coaches. And in fact, Jackman said he didn't have any real coaching until Emil Francis in New York. And Francis, I believe, was a former goalie. So he had some great input and tips for Jackman, but he didn't have goalie coaches before. And in fact, Pometier, same thing. Like he said on the record that he had no goalie coach. And so he just decided he was going to throw himself at every puck, no matter where it was, in his, like, next to the net, in front of the net, at the blue line. He didn't care. He was just going for it. And he had no one to tell him any better.
If you think about it, I mean, a lot of things when you go back into in the world and in sports, when you want to go back 40 or 50 years, they're pretty harsh. So you either do it or you're gone. And that would apply to the reliever, the stopper who eventually emerged in the 70s. And these goalies, it's so similar. And there was no place or nobody to talk to, as you identified. So they were on their own.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, to a certain extent, they still are. You know, they have a whole team of coaches and nutritionists and therapists working with them. But when they're between the pipes, they're completely on their own. And God knows what goes on in their head when the play's at the other end of the ice. You know, I know Pometier used to sing to himself to pass the time when the play was elsewhere. But I think it would be really tough, like not just to make the save, but to stay in the game mentally when the play's not at your end.
Well, it also makes you appreciate the group before this, the original six goalies where they didn't dress a backup and there was just the one guy and how he would have to carry that team. And you could understand a bit of the Terry Sawchuk story, the stress, because literally as soon as your performance dipped, you were traded.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that was big. That was Crozier's biggest fear was, you know, being backseat to Sawchuk when Sawchuk was there briefly. There in the 60s, they were just starting to bring in the two goalie system, but there were some old timers who were really resistant to that, who wanted to play every game, you know, like Jacquemin wanted to play every game. Grant Fuhr really enjoyed the workload when he went to St. Louis, and he was worked quite a bit, and he enjoyed that. So some goalies thrived on it, but come playoff time, not all of them had the stamina to get through multiple rounds of the playoffs.
Yeah, and I guess if you could have a conversation with Jerry Cheevers or Rogie Vachon or Eddie Jackman with Carey Price or Lundqvist or Marc-Andre Fleury, they would come to the conclusion it's not any easier.
No, it's not. And I did speak to Vachon and I did speak to Cheevers. And I like speaking to goalies from that era because they're at the point in their lives where they're like not as guarded. You know, like, I'm just going to tell you what I want to tell you. I'm not worried about, you know, reaction or repercussions because it doesn't matter anymore, really. So talking to them was great. But their approach to the game was definitely different than, you know, Henrik Lundqvist's approach, who I also spoke to. It just wasn't as uniform. It wasn't as, I don't want to say professional, but it wasn't as regimented the way it is now. It's almost, goalies are prepared with military precision now, whereas back in the day, it was just like, hey, he's smaller than the rest of us. Throw him in net and see what he does.
Yeah, it was all sort of ad lib. So the book is Behind the Mask. The first question is, where do we get it?
Well, this is an interesting answer. It's not so straightforward anymore because it keeps getting sold out on Amazon, which is great news for me. But the bad news is they're really slow in replenishing their stock. So there have been entire days where Christmas shoppers are being told by Amazon, my book won't arrive until January. So what I'm doing now is discouraging people from going to Amazon and pointing them to Indigo, you know, for Canadians, Americans, Barnes and Noble. I just feel like those retailers are more reliable. So it's online. It's also in bookstores, you know, and someone told me they just saw a bunch of copies at the Hockey Hall of Fame. So if you're in downtown Toronto and wandering by, you could get a book there.
So you did 12 goalies 10 years ago, 12 goalies now. How would you describe that journey and maybe your different appreciation for the guys you're talking to?
Oh, well, I mean, when I was talking to Henrik Lundqvist, I was really struck, like when I was doing the research and speaking to him, I was struck at how much goalies are like celebrities right now and what they have to deal with off the ice, whether it's, you know, scrutiny on social media, you know, seeing them driving or walking down the street, but also, you know, just fans and media, they just have so much external pressure now that they didn't have back in the day. So they're dealing with that in addition to what they're dealing with on the ice. And I think that makes their job in a way more challenging than the old timers' job. Although some people would say, hey, Terry Sawchuk didn't wear a mask, so what's tougher than that? You know, they are different. They have a different approach. And they do deal with more pressure in a way. They just don't deal with getting pucks in the face as much.
Yeah, the injury level isn't, but now it's not the face, it's groin, stomach muscles, ab muscles. Yeah. I mean, it's a different discipline that way, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And this is why so many of the goalies, you're now starting to see goalies in their 40s and 50s who are, you know, butterfly goalies having problems with their hips. From what I heard, Patrick Waugh has issues with his hips and he's only in his 50s. So, you know, I mean, it does take a toll on your body when you're playing. And then, of course, years later.
Randy, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
This is Yes Guy, the radio show on TSN 1050.